It's Brian Franklin bringing you the Feminine Financial Freedom Formula. Brian, hi.
Hi, how are you doing, Jenna?
Great. Very, very good. Very excited to be here.
Likewise. Thank you so much for having me.
Ah, it's great. So I will introduce Brian to you, those of you who don't know him, first in the formal sense. And then the personal sense, and they're very complimentary. So on the most formal end, Brian is one of the top executive coaches in the country. He works with the top C-level execs in the big cutting-edge companies like Google, like Apple, LinkedIn, Twitter, and has the nickname for being the $10 million coach, for making $1 million a year as an executive coach over the last 10 years. So this is Brian, who does extraordinary things with really advanced businesses, but also works with entrepreneurs like me, potentially like you, to rock our world just as much as he is rocking the world of these CEOs. And I've had how I came to know about Brian was because one of my clients was his client. And I saw her so transform. I was like, oh, my God, who are you working with? And it was so impressive that I then said, I want to work with this guy, too. And so made it so. And it's been such an incredible learning curve in my life across so many different arenas. And, yeah, we're going to share some of that magic that Brian has shared with me in my education around these things with you in this very cool Feminine Financial Freedom Formula. I have it.
All right, I'm excited.
All right.
So I wanted to start out by, why are we talking about a financial freedom formula, and why are we talking about a feminine financial freedom formula tonight? I noticed something a couple of years ago, that when I was working with executives, they would be asking me for their advice about what they want to do, and I noticed that I didn't always give them the advice that would be more lucrative. In other words, when given a choice between something that would make more money and less money, I didn't always suggest something that would give them more money, sometimes less. And I also noticed that when given a choice between the hard way and the easy way, I didn't always choose the easy way for myself and for my clients. So that got me thinking, well, what the heck is my compass? What am I paying attention to that I want people to have in their lives, so that when I see a choice in front of someone, I'm going to advocate for that particular way? And it was out of that investigation that I realized what I really care about, what I really am here on the planet to do, is to be free and to teach you how to be free. Freedom is something, it's our God-given right. It's something we're born with. And it's frequently, we are our own wardens. We are our own jailers. So we come into the world free, and then as soon as we can, start putting limitations on ourselves to be safe, to belong, to look good, to feel comfortable, to justify ourselves, and keep hitting these limitations until finally we end up boxing ourselves in. So freedom is really the purpose that I'm here to share with you. And so what does freedom mean? First I was thinking about freedom like, well, when I think about financial freedom, it means, for some people, it means having a lot of money so that you can go take time off, so that you can go sit on a beach somewhere and drink a margarita. But the kind of people that I'm actually most fascinated with, and the kind of people that I bet we have on this call, your goal in life isn't to just do recreation. You have a passion that you want to create some value in the world. You actually want to make a difference in the planet. So freedom has to do with the freedom to do that fully. The financial freedom so that you can fully express yourself in a way that generates a lot of value so that what you care about most for you can be lucrative. For example, I want to give you this kind of a story of the day in the life of a free person. So to me, a free person who's financially free wakes up. They do the very first thing that comes to their mind that exhilarates them. They do the first, most exciting and interesting thing they can think of. And then they do it by getting together with people that they just think are extraordinary. People they're so jazzed to be around, they feel so lucky to be friends with, that you just like pinch yourself because you can't believe how awesome they are. And then because your level of fear as a free person is quite low, and your concern for yourself is quite low, naturally you're in a state of giving, in a state of providing value. Your focus is on other people. So you're doing these incredible things, whatever's most exciting, you're doing them with amazing people. You're having the most extraordinary conversations that you can imagine having with them. In doing so, you're just providing value to this community in whatever way comes up. Sometimes that value has money associated with it, and sometimes not. You're not paying too close attention to that. But because you're creating value in an extraordinary community, that naturally your finances are taken care of. In fact, from three people, everything they do artfully, they do emotionally, and that art and emotion, you know, makes it even more valuable. So the financial concerns are just taken care of. Money's just coming in. And then you go to bed totally exhausted, having given everything you could give that day, and having made the planet a better place, having left it better than you found it that day. So to me, that's sort of what happens when human beings are naturally free. And this notion of trying to take time off or wanting time, you know, time away from work as your free time, and that feels like freedom when you've given up on the idea of really being who you could be in the world. And so I'm all about returning people to that state where they just naturally give, and out of that natural giving, they create extraordinary results.
And it's always beautiful for me to hear Brian talk about freedom, because freedom for me is the ultimate. And my work really focuses about on feeling free around food, feeling free with weight, with body, and here I'm seeing you link freedom with the feminine in a way. Mm-hmm. And I never quite thought of it that way before. It's like the freedom you're saying to nurture whatever you want.
Yeah, I mean, you might ask, like, what's some guy doing on here with Jenna talking about feminine financial freedom? And I wanted to explain a little bit about that.
Yeah, because you're a pretty boysy boy, Brian.
Yeah.
What's up with your feminine stuff?
Even though I live in San Francisco, I have a lot of New York in me, right? So, So here's the reason for that. My mom was a high school dropout. She dropped out of high school because she got pregnant with my oldest sister, and they kicked her out of Catholic high school because she started to show. It was too embarrassing for them to have a pregnant girl in school. This was, you know, in the early 60s. And so she was a high school dropout. And she mostly paid attention to people and to human relationships. So she just was a people person. She gravitated towards people. She loved people. And, you know, the details of life, like, you know, making sure that the bills are paid and that things are taken care of and that you've, you know, taken care of your responsibilities, those were always kind of a struggle for her. And then she divorced her first husband and then ran into my dad in an airport. And she walked up to my father, this is now 1968, and she said, if I gave you my phone number, would you call it? And my father said no. But obviously the end of the story is that they ended up together. But my father was a Harvard MBA. So here's his MBA from Harvard, all about structure, rigidity, planning, predictability. And my mother, who's all about relationships and people and just understanding emotions, and when I was growing up in my, you know, formative years, the kind of the story in the household was that she was kind of a loose cannon and wasn't responsible, and he was the one that was kind of creating things, you know, bringing in the money and holding down the fort. But what might be surprising to you is that she ended up out-earning him two to three times. So even when he was the president of a major corporation, he was one of the founding presidents of AirTouch, the cell phone company. Even when he was the president of AirTouch, she was out-earning him as an executive coach in Silicon Valley.
Spreading her feminine ways, you're saying?
Well, and that got my attention. As I started to want to be successful in my own right, I looked at his way of doing business, and I looked at hers, and I noticed some huge differences. And she introduced to me what I now think of as the feminine business model, the way of doing business in a from the feminine, which can be done by men and women, obviously, because it's how I run my business. And the feminine business model goes hand in hand with individual freedom because it honors you. And the feminine business model honors what's important to you and what you value. So my mom valued relationships, so she created a business around relationships. And she didn't value the sort of, piercing into the future, the predicting the future, the rigidity of planning and strategic planning. So she would be an executive coach, for example. She was coaching a CEO. I was in a meeting with her. This would have been about 9 years ago now, maybe almost 10 years ago. I couldn't believe it. We're in a meeting. I'm a new executive coach at this point. I had sold my business in the entertainment industry doing sound and editing and picture editing for the movies. And I'm now going to be an executive coach and work with my mom while I try and figure out what else I'm going to do after having sold my business. I'm in this executive meeting with the CEO, and the CEO starts talking about the financial plan. And my mom sticks her fingers in her ears and goes, la, 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 while he's talking. And I couldn't freaking believe it. But her message to him was that the things you're saying, the financial plan, the when you talk about it was a meeting where we were talking about the financial projections with respect to sales and sales projections. And her point was, look, if you want to have good sales in your company, build relationships with the customers, and this meeting should be talking about the people that we're trying to serve in the customer organizations, how they feel about us, and how to make them feel better about us. This meeting shouldn't be about talking about this percentage and that percentage and this percentage is a percentage of that percentage and this percentage is a percentage of that percentage. So it sounded very childish and irreverent to me at the time, but because my mom focuses on relationships and had a very strong rapport with the CEO, he kind of stopped and said, he got the point, and he said, well, what do you think we should be talking about? And my mom said, well, what's John feel about this deal? John was the CEO of the customer company. Let's talk about what he feels about the deal. So one aspect of the feminine business model is that your primary job is to nurture relationships. And I think so many people, when they're thinking about financial freedom and trying to earn money, feel like they have to sacrifice relationships in order to earn money. Like if they charge their client a lot for their service, somehow charging a lot is at odds with the relationship, and they have to sacrifice some of that relationship in order to be successful. Whereas I think the feminine model is that you never sacrifice the relationship, and in fact, you find a way that having the relationship be lucrative for you and beneficial for them makes it stronger. You know, if you have an advisor or a consultant that you pay $1,000 to, you're going to have one kind of relationship with them. if you paid $10,000 or $20,000 or $100,000 to that same consultant, you're going to have a very different relationship with them. So there's a way for your business to be more lucrative and for you to be building stronger relationships. So the first aspect is that the feminine model is to focus not on goals or outcomes, but on relationships.
Awesome. I do relate with that.
The second difference that I noticed between the two was came around the time of the first of the year. And around my dad, before he was president of AirTouch, he had a fiber optic network that he was building as an entrepreneur, small business that he had started, which he ended up selling, I think to GE, but I might be getting that one wrong. But in any case, he ended up selling his fiber optic company. So he was running that company, and my mom was coaching executives. And it would come around the first of the year, and my dad would sit down and do his financial planning for the year. And this was a spreadsheet that was, in the early days, it took several floppy disks for him to put this spreadsheet together because it was so large and had so many intricate variables and levels of detail. And he would do projections, and the projections were based on probabilities and so forth. And when my mom would do financial planning for the year, she'd get out a little pad of paper, like the little pads that they give to you at the hotel, and she'd start writing down the names of the clients she already had and what they were paying her per month. So she'd write down Documentum and Cadence and Interwoven. I don't know if you know these companies, but these were the darlings of the mid and late 90s in Silicon Valley. And then she would drift on that list. She'd start adding to the list companies that she didn't work with yet, but that she'd like to. Maybe she had a friend over at Apple, so she'd write Apple. And she had heard about a new company called Securitas that maybe she wanted to work with, but she didn't know anyone there yet, but she heard that they might like her, so she put that name. And so she made this one list that started out with who she was working with already and ended up with who she liked to work with, and then she'd write total at the end of the piece of paper. And she said, that's what I'm going to make. And initially, this was frustrating for me, because I was like, well, first of all, you're mixing two lists. You got to keep it straight between who your customers and your prospects. I mean, any sales training is going to tell you that. You can't just add together what you already booked and what you think you might. You know, is this real or not? And she'd kind of smile and say, well, I don't know if it's real. And then what would happen every year is that oftentimes, the names on the list would change. Sometimes her existing clients would go away. Other times, she put on Apple. The Apple deal would fall through. Sometimes the people would make bigger contracts than she expected or smaller. So the names on the list changed, but every time, the number at the bottom was within a couple thousand dollars of being right. And my dad's planning was more binary. It was either exactly correct or it was way off. Because if there were a couple of, I remember when he was doing a small business venture early on, and he was off by a couple of percentage points on what he guessed inflation would be. And so that ended up changing because of the multipliers, that business tremendously. So the more accurate that he tried to be with planning, the more you try to pretend that the future is a physical thing that you can touch and count on, the more you're kind of standing rigidly in your idea of how it should go, the less likely you're going to be to get it right. And the more fluid you are, the more willing you have it to change, and you just kind of have a sense of what is happening, what you'd like to happen, what feels good to you. She got more and more accurate with her planning. So And a second aspect of, you know, the feminine financial freedom formula is that after you nurture your relationships, you have a sense of where you're going, but you're constantly willing to be wrong about what about where your money's coming from. So if one deal or one business or one client or one project falls through, instead of continuing to try and resurrect it, you just take a step back and look at the relationships you've got and start to keep nurturing them, and then whatever kind of emerges out of that network, you focus on that instead. In the masculine model, you keep trying to focus on the thing you said you would, even if opportunities that are outside of your focus come up, you kind of call them a distraction and you keep working on the thing that you said you would, even if it doesn't work.
The word that's coming to mind for me is organic.
Yeah, absolutely. Yes. When I think of feminine, I think of organic, natural, arising spontaneously, requiring a great degree of trust and surrender.
Without interference.
Absolutely. So when I think about, you know, the way my mom built her business, which, by the way, you know, she was the first million-dollar a year coach that I knew. She taught me how to make $1 million a year coaching by doing it first. She's now retired, of course. But when I looked at her business, what I realized is she treated her business like a garden, not like a machine. You know, there's a lot of machinery imagery when you talk to about a masculine financial model where you're turning the crank and you got the gears working and it's a scalable system. But she didn't treat it like that. She treated it like a garden where she made sure that the soil was fertile, that the relationships, all of the relationships that had potential were nurtured and felt good about
the birds and the bees?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. That she, you know, the anyone who was of a similar mind and had some influence, she would just try to make them better off. She'd try to help them in some way. And then when an opportunity would start to bud out of the ground, a little tiny sapling, she would nurture that project, relationship, and without deciding ahead of time what it was to become, and kind of let it bloom into whatever it wanted to be. So this also meant that she was frequently wrong about the business she thought she was in, right? You know, she would be walking into one opportunity thinking she was going to do one thing, and they would decide that really what they needed was something slightly different. But because she knew how to create value with human relationships, she was able to be flexible and provide value there. The last thing, or I guess not the last, it's kind of an endless list, but one of the last things I wanted to talk about the feminine aspect tonight of the, you know, we've got feminine financial freedom, right? So there's, on the feminine side, when you base your success on high-quality human relationships, then you feel nurtured. Because when you look around, what you've got are high-quality relationships. And so rather than getting good at analyses or spreadsheets or delivering a particular product or service, she decided to get good at human relationships. And as an aspect of human relationships, human influence. How do you get people to be swayed by you? How do you be the kind of person that when you speak up, it changes the quality in the room, it changes the tone of the meeting, it changes the exchange, where if something's important to you and you say it, it becomes important to the other person. And for her, it started out with a fascination just about people. But what I now realize is that she had become, without knowing it, a student of true leadership. And that I found the feminine way of leading to be more and more popular, and it's kind of the direction we're going as a society. We are ready to be led in a, you know, more nurtured, a more surrendered, and by that I mean open to whatever comes and nurturing that. We're ready to be led by different people. If you think about the changes that are happening in marketing with social media and the value of transparency, you know, the most successful companies now that are growing the fastest are doing so with a many-to-many networked approach to sales and marketing, and they're doing so with a value of transparency, of letting everybody in company know what they're doing and everyone outside the company know what they're doing. And those qualities actually are mirrored in this feminine leadership. So by being a student of leadership, she didn't box herself into a particular craft, and therefore she's always been recession-proof. And she's trained me to be recession-proof. You know, we had a pretty rough economy in the last couple of years. We had a pretty rough economy right after 9/11. We had a pretty rough economy in, you know, 87. And I think there was another one in 93, at least in the real estate side. And each of those time periods, if you look at my business, and before that, if you look at her business, we did the same. We were doing basically the same. And that's because in any economy, people need to be led. And if you understand leadership, then where you need to lead them and from where change, but that you need to lead them does not. So that gets me to you know, the idea of you know, financial freedom. How do you become that person that wakes up every day and does what's exhilarating to you, and then gets paid for that? As our friend says, how, you know, how do you get paid for who you are?
Can I say can I say something there?
Yeah, please.
That when you're saying if you what you pursue is great relationships in your work, then where you're going to end up is having the experience of having great relationships.
Yeah.
And what woman doesn't want that? We do. It's just in our DNA. It's in who we are as female creatures to want to be related. And as you were saying that, I was agreeing with it. And also I was seeing the webinar here where you could see the names of the people. And I was seeing the names of the women that I've spoken with today to tomorrow, over this week, and over this time, and just feeling that exact feeling. So satisfying to be in work where it's the relating is so powerful and so nourishing and nurturing in all directions.
Yeah. Well, you know, to me, if the thing that contributes to my sense of freedom is that I know that whatever happens in the world, I'm going to be okay. Something, you know, a meteor hits the banking system and I lose all my money, and aliens come down from outer space and tell me I can't coach anymore, and the government makes a law against webinars, you know, it doesn't matter what happens. I'm going to be fine. And I know I'm going to be fine primarily because I've got a lot of really high-quality relationships with extraordinary people like Jenna, who understand, recognize value, deliver value, and so there are no circumstances that can break that. You know, for those of you who are in a good, committed relationship, like I am, I'm engaged to an amazing woman named Jennifer, and we often say, you know, when we that we have each other to work with, that we have our relationship as our strength, we can face any challenge. And if you're focusing on building those kinds of relationships in your business, then you could have 5, 10, 20, 100 or even 1,000 people that you have really strong relationships with, that together you can face anything. That way, when something changes in your business, or, you know, I was talking to a guy earlier who he's just signing up for one of my programs for next year, and one of his concerns is that he sees his business dwindling over the years. Like, 2 years ago it was doing okay, last year it suffered a little bit, this year it's doing even less. And he feels like the conditions are changing and he doesn't know what to do. It's because he hasn't built enough strong relationships that can together kind of adjust your relationship to the market, adjust what you're doing, do a new thing, and have it turn out. So, you know, how do you, take the feminine model, you build relationships, you're open to whatever comes.
Can I say something on that one? When you say, like, having no fear no matter what, again, with the feminine metaphor, it's like nature or the garden is not fearing growing or fearing the weather. It just is.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's all welcome.
It's all welcome. And, you know, and that the history of the weather gets written into the story of the garden and become, you know, and the garden becomes richer for it.
Yeah.
So if you want to lead your life, you want to start to build your business on these principles, how do you do that? And the way to do that is, to me, you have to, it's like driving a motorcycle on a mountain road. You have to stay kind of in the center. You don't want to go too far off to the left, or else you end up hitting the mountain, and you don't want to go too far off to the right, or you'll drive off the cliff. But while you're in the middle between the mountain and the cliff, the ride is beautiful and exhilarating, and you feel free. So the way to maintain or build or create your freedom, once you've got the kind of feminine values in place and you've decided that it's okay for you to live your life that way and lead your business that way, the mountain to avoid is what I call the mountain of struggle, where you know that you're doing the kind of thing that you believe in, know that your craft or your service or your product is what's good for the world, and you stand behind it. You believe it's your passion, in fact. But you don't learn enough about how the world thinks about value and what happens in human relationships that causes leadership. So you have trouble leading people to be inspired by you, and you have trouble, you know, attracting customers, figuring out, you know, how to do marketing. And once you do talk to people, when you're talking about what you do, you're not comfortable with that conversation. They're not comfortable with the conversation. They don't become your customers, and so people kind of have to fight tooth and nail through your defenses, through your own beliefs, in order to get to you to be your customer. And then a few are, well, God bless them, a few are willing to do that, and they get all the way through, and they become your customer, and then you know, you do your beautiful work with them. So that's the mountain of struggle. And if that, you know, if you're struggling, if you know that you're doing the right thing, but you can't figure out how to make the money you want doing it, then to get back on the road, you've got to acquire the taste for marketing, sales, and leadership. You've got to learn how to do those crafts, not the way that other people do them, not the way that the books tell you to do them, but a way that's consistent with you, a way that represents you. So you have to learn how marketing works and then bring yourself to it. You have to learn how sales works and bring yourself to it. And then learn how leadership works so that you can continue to build those relationships and be in a position of leverage, a position of value, and bring yourself to it. Now, if you're driving off the cliffs on the other side, that's where perhaps you've been successful or you've been able to make some money, but you feel like every time you're doing what it takes to make money, you feel a little bit dead inside, or it's not quite you. I was once asked a question, which gives an interesting perspective. This was years ago. Imagine if every single person on the planet that was eligible tomorrow became your customer. And my heart sank because something about what I was doing didn't feel like an expression of me. And I realized that there was some part of me that wanted to hide what I was doing in the world. This is when I was in the entertainment industry doing sound design. Like if every movie ever made became my customer, I had this immediate feeling of wanting to hide under a table.
So because what's wrong with sound design? What's wrong with sound design?
There's nothing wrong with sound design. There was something wrong with my sound design. I wasn't doing work that I was so proud of that I wanted everyone to have it.
Oh, okay.
You know, it was good enough. It was okay. And for the budgets, we did some great stuff. We were nominated for an Academy Award for film Memento for picture editing. But we also did 299 other movies that weren't as good. I just wasn't my everyday existence wasn't one that I was so proud of that I wanted to multiply it by the, you know, billions of people in the world. And I find a lot of people are in that place. You know, some of you might think, oh no, I do want all those customers because you're thinking of the dollars. You're thinking of you getting rich or you making a lot of money or you going to the beach and wouldn't it be great if my, or your ego is like, oh, I'm king of the world, I've done world domination now. But if you think about what it would be actually be like to have them as customers, what it would be, you know, if everybody knew how you did your work and what it was like, a lot of us kind of shrink. And that shrinkage is what holds us back from doing really purposeful and excellent and effective marketing and leadership. So the people driving off the cliff who've maybe learned the rules of how money works need to get in contact with the rules of how meaning works, how to make things meaningful to them, how to go from success to significance, and do work that you believe in so purely that if I could wave a magic wand and make everyone your customer, your authentic response would be relief. And that's one way that you know that you're actually on board living your passion instead of living a concept of your passion, which is almost but not quite it. So, you know, some of you probably thought that being an entrepreneur meant getting up at the crack of dawn, giving your spouse a peck on the lips, even though maybe you haven't been intimate in up to a year, cramming yourself into a suit you really don't want to wear, or a dress you really don't want to wear. You bust your butt at work for like 8 or 10, 12, 14, 16 hours a day, doing all this work, feeling totally disconnected from the results your business is actually getting, and at the end of the day, looking at what's going on in your bank account and saying, I sacrificed all that for this. You know, if you're like a lot of people, you probably had a moment in that story that sounds like me, because you're not alone. The fact of the matter is that the majority of the people that call themselves entrepreneurs today are actually miserable because they're not free. They got into the business they're in for one reason, and they stay in the business for a completely different reason that has nothing to do with actually getting what they want or expressing who they are on the planet. And nobody wants to end up 70 years old, looking a lot older, with no more money to show for it, or even older, adding, you know, be on your deathbed and regretting that you never lived your life freely. So the opportunity, it doesn't have to be like that. The opportunity is to rewrite the meaning of the word entrepreneur for you, to play a different game where you master the domains, you master marketing, you master sales, you master leadership. You get committed to learn those as crafts because you want the personal relationships to be high quality in your life. And you do it in a way where you take a deeper and deeper cut at what you want to be doing on the planet and make sure that every 6 months or every year you are refining that and cutting away anything that feels like it's not you, anything that feels like it's in the way of high-quality relationships, and purely do what works for you and your expression of the world in terms of your delivery of value.
I like it. Sounds really good. I like the way it's constantly updated, refreshed presence.
Yeah. So
changing your mind.
Jennifer and I recently did this. We did this a few months ago, about 6 months ago. We do it every year, at least, and sometimes more often, where we sit down and we look at each other and we say, all right, what are we doing here on the planet? And are we giving our greatest gifts? What's our deepest heart's desire for how this thing is going to go, for our life being called extraordinary, and how are we doing? And then we make the boldest and most outrageous step towards creating what we want while still holding on to the handhold or the lifeline of what reasonably we can expect to be successful. You know, I think a lot of people go headlong into what they think they're passionate about, but they forget to measure it with or by what they can sustain themselves and be, you know, have enough money to stop thinking about the rent every month. And everybody can be successful, but some people, particularly the ones that are up against the mountain, on the mountain road, they're like unwilling to do the things that will make them money because it feels to them like they're selling out. And I don't want to be imprisoned by money, so I'm going to not take that job. I'm going to instead, do this thing which I think is going to work for me. And what ends up happening is they're even more imprisoned by money because they're doing their craft, but, you know, 20 days out of the month, instead of being free and waking up, you know, free and going to bed free, exhausted, 20 days a month, they wake up scared shitless about the rent. And therefore, they've imprisoned themselves with money by refusing to do what it takes to make it. So
I know there are some people on the call who find themselves in a situation where they're getting paid just a fraction of what the client is paying because it's not there. They haven't made that step to say, I'll make it all mine.
Yeah. What I'd say, do what it takes to be successful, and which might not be exactly what you had in mind. And then go every 6 months or a year bolder and bolder and bolder towards the thing that you had in mind, holding on to the guide wire of success. And the reason why, by the way, the reason why they go, the reason why it's not successful when they just follow what they think their passion is, what feels like your passion, because when you think about it, your whole body light's on fire. So it feels like, that's my passion, that's my purpose. And so you go towards it, but it doesn't work because financial freedom and the true feminine financial freedom formula has to do with both listening inside and also listening outside. You know, the garden is a beautiful metaphor because the roots go down and get the nutrients from the soil while the leaves come up and get the nutrients and from the sky and from the sun. So you need to have your roots in what the world tells you is successful, and the world tells you what's successful by being willing to pay you for it, and have your leaves out in the sun of what feeds you inside and out. So hold on to that guy where what's successful and then take the deepest cut. And that's exactly what Jennifer and I just did. So, hey, Jen, do you mind if I tell these guys about the program that we've got coming up and what the opportunity for them might be?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay, great. Thank you. So we've got basically the outcome of this conversation with Jennifer and I, where we took the deepest cut towards what difference do we want to make on the planet, was we want entrepreneurs to be free. And what is the most outrageous program that we could put together that is going to lead people who want that and wanted it for a while but haven't been able to put it together totally themselves? What's the best container that we could put together for them to just explode inside of and be successful? And we came up with the Mind, Money, and Meaning program. because those are the three domains that you're going to have to master in order to stay, keep that motorcycle in that center of the road, right? Human relationships and the future, which is all created in your mind, the rules of money, like marketing and sales and how that works, and also meaning and how meaning and the idea of significance really work. So the program is designed for people who want wild financial success and want to make a huge difference in the world. It's for people that have tasted success. You know, you've been successful in some area of your life or in your business in the past, and you want to take things to an entirely new level. We've had people, you know, just start out, and they built a $100,000 business in their first year because they had been successful in other areas of their life, so they had some of the things already, some of the momentum in place for once a you know, a really great structure is in place, they know how to take advantage of it. It's for people who want to take risks. The program is not for people who play it safe. It's not for people who want something done for them and handed them to on a silver platter. And it's not for people who have really rigid ideas about who you are and what your identity is. It's for people who want to stretch the boundaries of who you think you are so that you can discover something entirely new about yourself. And it's for people who know they've got something really great to offer and they're passionate about helping people. You know, we only really are looking at creating this program for people who either are about to design or have designed some kind of offering, a product or service for the planet, which they believe they can put a part of themselves into. The objective in the course is to do two things. One, we want everyone to double their business or add $100,000 to the income in 1 year. So it's designed to give you everything that it takes to either double your business or add $100,000 of income in 1 year. And we, you know, we had two or three people last year and actually triple their business in 1 year, and that's possible, but not for necessarily for everyone. The second thing that it's designed to do, the objective, is to create for you an ongoing sense of freedom, financial freedom, to transform you into the marketers, into the relationship mavens and the leaders by mastering marketing, sales, and leadership so that you can continually find opportunities for the rest of your life and maximize those opportunities. You know, I keep saying mastering sales, and I just want to give you a sense of what I mean by that. You know, I talked to a woman who had done a program very similar to this where we taught sales, like, and I think this was 2 years ago now. And this woman wanted to do an art project recently, so she decided to get a job to pay for her, you know, kind of pay her bills while she did this art project. And so she went and got a sales job, and she had never considered to be a salesperson ever. She, you know, sales for her was like, she stuck out her tongue and went, bleh, when I first said that we were going to learn sales. She was like, ugh, and I know a lot of you can relate. But not only did she learn that she loved sales, she ended up going and getting a sales job because she knew that she could control her own hours. And she went out and she got the sales job. She did an interview, and in the interview they did a kind of a role play of a sales conversation. She used the sales process that I taught her, and the interviewer said that she was the best interviewee in the history of the company since he'd been there. He'd never seen anyone do as well as she did. 2 months later, she's the top-selling salesperson in the company, and the CEO is calling her in to give marketing and sales advice because she's kind of explained to them that the process they're using doesn't make any sense because it doesn't, it's not based on building human relationships. Now, how did she go from sales is blah to being like the top salesperson at a job so that she's making tons of money, has plenty of money to save, and can do her art project? She did it by mastering not the technique of sales, but mastering the understanding that sales is building a quality relationship where the two of you are discovering what matters together. So if you think about a sales conversation where someone's convincing you to buy something, that's kind of ugly. But what about a conversation where two people are in discovery about what matters in life? And so that's the mindset that I've got about it. And that's how I teach you how to sell in that way. I taught her how to sell in that way. And then, and you know, she probably won't keep that job for very long. She's going to quit it as soon as she makes the money she wants and do another odd project. But that woman's free. She's got opportunity, financial opportunity for the rest of her life. What you're going to learn in the Mind, Money, and Meaning program are, first of all, you're going to master human relationships to such a degree that you can cause the things you want to have happen in your business happen as if the people in your life are like marionettes and you're holding the strings. Now, I know that sounds a little bit like, you know, control and weird, and but I tongue-in-cheek, it really does feel like that. If you're up to something good in the world, if you're really doing something based on love, which is going to benefit the people that you care about, then this style of leadership is like a tsunami, and you know when you use it, you just people just fall in line and want to help you accomplish great things. There's a guy who did the program last year who he was really, really meek. He's a very short man. He's very quiet. He's one of these guys that even if you're standing really close to him, it's hard to hear what he's saying. And I started teaching him the leadership aspects of the Mind, Money, Meaning program. And he stood up in about a third of the way through the program, and he said that he was working at a nonprofit, and he's now decided that he's going to go on stage in front of people and pitch investors on donating to his nonprofit. And that is going to be his new role at the company. And we were all a little bit worried. But he took what he learned about influence, and he said, you know, one of the things that I told him was about the power of storytelling, and I told him a structure for how to tell stories that cause people to act. He used that structure. He started doing that, and he started raising so much money for his nonprofit that the main contributors asked him to do the same thing for their other nonprofits, and now he's running three nonprofits doing all of this fundraising. He's a leader. The second thing that you're designed to learn is we're going to teach you marketing and sales. So you might not know this, but it's with a little bit of training in marketing and sales, you can join the top 1% of the top 1% that really understand how these two superpower skills work. Imagine if you could market or sell anything. Then every time you come up with an idea, you have an opportunity of evaluating whether it's a good idea and whether you really do it. And marketing and sales is something you just have in your back pocket that you can take care of it with. You know, most entrepreneurs, every entrepreneur I know is too busy. They're doing too much stuff, and just there's no way they can grow their business because it's just too hectic. So in marketing and sales in particular, you can learn what not to do, which is where most people spend their entire life, working backwards against themselves. You know, one guy in our program, actually Jenna knows this guy because he's in Jenna's program, and he tripled his business pretty quickly into the beginning of the program, doing a bunch of sales. And then he started doing less and less and less of the marketing and sales activities he had been doing, started to hire people to do them for him, and by the end of the year, he had tripled his business, but more importantly, he only works 5 days a week. He goes to work at 9 in the morning. He's home with his wife and kids every night at 5 p.m. And his wife actually came up to Jennifer and I at one point and just in tears and saying, you know, thank you. You gave me my husband back because now when he's home, he's all the way home. So when you learn what not to do, there's an unimaginable amount of time available. That you can give, that you can have fun, that you can do the things you love to do, and that you can begin to enjoy your freedom. So let's see, you know, Jenna, did you want to talk a little bit about your, just like a minute or two about your experience in the program?
I just drank some water and I went down the tube the wrong way, so give me a minute or two.
Okay.
To recover and come back to me.
Beautiful. Well, I'll continue. So let me talk about one more guy. I was just talking to a guy who signed up for our Ascended Masters program, which is kind of the elite version of Mind, Money, Meaning for people who really want to be unrecognizable to themselves in every way. And he's an employee, actually an executive at Microsoft. And he said, you know, this program sounds like it's entrepreneurs, but can I do it? And I said, well, we had this one guy named Bob, who was depressed and unemployed. He had an advanced degree, but the only job he could get was at Banana Republic. He gratefully took the job, even though it didn't cover his expenses, and it took a terrible toll on his body and his spirit each day. And then he found out about our program. He enrolled, and he started to learn about people and about influence and about how they interact in the world in a way that provides value. And I just got this beautiful text from him the other day that he's sitting in an offsite in a new company that is paying him well over $100,000, the most he's ever made in his life, salary, amongst people who are extraordinary people. He and the founder of this company and Peter Senge, who wrote The Fifth Discipline, are going skiing later that day. And the people at these companies, he said, are all creative, they're brilliant, and they view him as a peer who they value his input. They value him as an expert in a field which he cares deeply about, which happens to be agile programming, which he'd always cared about, but he had no way to kind of engage that way. So now he's got this job. He says, Brian, these are my people. This is my home. This is my tribe. I feel on a deeply spiritual level that I'm doing exactly what I need to be doing, and I'm getting paid more than I ever thought I could doing it. Thank you. I love you. It was a beautiful text. So the course is designed to be done from your home or office.
I'm better now. I recover. I'll just...
Great. Okay, good. Well, let's hear from Jen.
I'll say something, which is that when I met Brian was at a time when it's just after the whole recession had hit in a huge way, and I had a fledgling wellness center that was large and staffed and in very much a startup phase. And then when everything shifted and the financial things changed as they did at that time, I was in a situation where I was like, oh my God, I might actually lose my baby because this is just what I'm doing is not working for the magnitude of this new project that I've taken on. Before I had something smaller, now I had this bigger thing. I was like, whoa. And I met Brian, and Brian actually spoke to me about the possibility of businesses failing and businesses dying. And there was something so profound in the way that we went into this that allowed me to fully face, not just run away from this thing that was working, but I didn't really want to know about it. And I had just fired 10 people at this stage in 1 week. And Brian really took me into facing it. And that's, you know, like the gloomy end of the story. But from there, over the next year, I was in the program, and everything turned around so incredibly, all by starting with really understanding where I was, not denying it, and taking step by step with all these understandings of wisdom that he's been sharing, applying it to, you know, me, like the real life me. And those of you who know me, you know, there's something I'm just born to share. And just because it didn't look one way, it's like, okay, retool, reconfigure, like, oh, this will, now, that's more true to me. And one of the things I think that really happened for me in going from that, like, oh my gosh, things aren't working, was ceasing to listen to other people's advice, and really through Brian's teaching, really bringing me much closer into, still paying attention to learning, but not selling out to what some other thinking that some other person's idea would be smarter than mine or better or more effective or make more money. It's just like, no, I'm going to be me. And this way that Brian has of teaching really allows for that. So I'm a big fan.
Thank you, Jen. Thank you so much. Yeah, you know, as Jenna's story points out, business can be hard. Business is unpredictable, and it's a wild beast. And you have a wisdom inside you that already knows good advice from bad, what's going to work from what is not going to work. But you don't want to listen to that because it doesn't match your kind of mind's idea of how you'd like it to turn out. And so one of the things that we can kind of do is train you how to listen to your intuition in a way that can tell the good advice from the bad and start to build that acumen so that you when you walk into a business opportunity or a opportunity to provide value, that you know it's going to work. And I think that Jenna made that transition, you know. The kind of mistakes that she made earlier, before we had met, by listening to these advisors who weren't, you know, they just weren't in touch with what it was really going to be like to run her business. She would never make that mistake now because as they would speak, she would know immediately that they weren't where they needed to be to give her high quality advice. So, correct?
Yes, absolutely. And what I now have that feeling that you spoke of where, you know, you could take everything away and you'd still be okay.
Yeah.
Whereas before I was kind of clinging behind some idea of what it would look like that didn't work, and I was sort of stuck, identified with it, versus now it's like, take it all away and I'll still create something else. It's much more empowered feeling.
So let me give you guys an opportunity. Jenna and I are going to give you some awesome stuff tonight. So hang in there for a few minutes. We're going to give you some amazing things, and then we'll take some questions because I know a lot of you want to ask questions about what you heard tonight. So this is how you participate. This is how you take advantage of everything we just talked about. The program kicks off on January 21st in New York and January 29th in San Francisco. There's a one-weekend kickoff in person, which I highly recommend you come to. And after that, it's designed to be done by your home or office online. There are videos, downloads, instructions, and challenges every week, plus a group coaching call with Jennifer and I every other week, where we lay out everything that you're going to need to know to master these fields and start funneling your business through that knowledge until you build something that creates real freedom for you. The price of the program is only $4,900 if you make two payments. Or if you want to put $900 down and make five payments total, it's $5,900. That's $16 a day. So for $16 a day, you know, less than it would take to take your friend out to lunch to get advice, you can get the highest quality training on sales, marketing, and leadership out there. And Jennifer and I, personal commitment to work with you to interpret it in your business to make you successful. I think everyone in the program is going to get at least two, three, or four times the money back that they invest in the program, and it's designed that way. There's something else, which is there's a Freedom Retreat, which is a four-day retreat in San Francisco, which is normally $5,000. And that Freedom Retreat's open to all of the past people who have worked with Jennifer and I. And it's just an extraordinary event. You know, think like a master networking event meets Burning Man, meets the Hot Springs, and it's a big teach-in. All of the students are invited to teach workshops and seminars, and it's a way for everyone to get to know what everyone else is up to and doing and create a kind of a network of support. A lot of people refer clients at the Freedom Retreat. Anyway, so we really want to give you every chance you've got to be successful and to live free, because our mission, Jennifer and I, want free people on the planet, because when people are free and when in our community, what emerges is caring and community and a sense of the long term, and we can start to tackle some of these bigger social issues we've got, but not until we're free. So we're going to throw in the Freedom Retreat free. And especially for tonight, what I want to do is, if any part of you is curious about whether next year the kind of structure that my best thinking and Jennifer's best thinking have created, you know, how to design the thing that's going to be the highest likelihood of really breaking you through to results that you didn't think were possible. If any part of you thinks that you're curious about it, what we want to do is give you a free power session, a 15-minute power session with me. And for the first 15 people that sign up for those sessions, if you register for Mind, Money, and Meaning on that call, I'm also going to send you a free iPad. The idea is that the program is designed to be done mobily. It's designed for you as an entrepreneur to be wherever you need to be, and the iPad is a perfect way to do it. So we want to give you that so that you have a really convenient and awesome way of doing the program. So for the first 15 people who want the free power session with me, you guys are going to get iPads. And for everyone else, you still get the MMM, the Mastering Mind, Money, and Meaning, plus the Freedom Retreat for either $4,900 or $5,900, depending on your payment plan. It's really a ridiculous offer. So I want to tell you how to take advantage of it. The thing you want to do right now is you want to go to www.BrianFranklin, that's BrianFranklin.com/freedom, FREEDOM, freedom, FREEDOM. So go right now to that website and click on the orange button. That it will send you right to my calendar, and you can schedule your free power session. Again, the first 15 people, and I would do it right now because I'm already seeing on the email that people are coming in. So go to it right now. Sign up for that free session. The first 15 people get your iPad. Everybody else gets the program and the free Freedom Retreat. And in that 15-minute power session, you're going to tell me a little bit about your business. I'm going to give you 5 to 10 minutes of what I see is next for you, and I've been blowing people away. I don't know, when I only have 15 minutes with you, something happens, like I'm channeling some other power, and we just are going to laser into exactly what we need to talk about and what's next for you, and you're going to leave that call with something valuable. You're going to leave the call inspired, and if it's a match, if you're the kind of person that we want to have in the program, and we both agree to that, then you're going to leave the program knowing that you've started 2011 to be the year that you are finally going to start to make yourself free instead of go round and round and round on the same wheel, ending up financially in the same place you started. So anyway, thank you so much for that. And what I wanted to do, Jenna, is if we can open up for a Q&A, or if you have any comments or questions about anything that we talked about tonight, I want to give as much back as we can. So let's do that.
Okay. So everybody, you are welcome to submit questions into the question panel of the webinar interface here. And so here's a beautiful one, which is, do you help people discover what their heart's deepest desire is?
Yes, of course, although the process probably doesn't look like you think. So discovering what your heart's deepest desire is very similar to discovering the truth. And, you know, some people think that your heart's deepest desire is a fixed thing, that you once you discover it, you know what it is, and then you're set. And some people kind of know it, and other people don't. But it actually doesn't work that way. Discovering your heart's deepest desire is a practice, like a muscle, that you build over time, and at first you kind of have a vague idea, so you're able to go kind of in the direction, and then the practice or the muscle is to stay awake and notice what it actually feels like to be going in the direction you're going. What do the relationships feel like? What are you sleeping? Are you eating well? Are you taking care of yourself? Is your life coming together to be an integrated thing where you are living the way you want to live? Further away from that or closer? And you are attentive to whether that's true or not. Then you peel one layer back and you discover that your deepest heart's desire is actually something slightly different. And you go towards that. And then you are aware again of the ways that it's right and the ways that it's wrong, and you peel it back, and there's another layer, and you peel it back. So I teach people how to peel it back, right? I mean, Jenna, you saw in our class, we had a room full of people that after the end of the year, wouldn't you say they had that ability?
At the end of the year, what?
At the end of the year, wouldn't you say that they had the ability to peel back the kind of the layers on what their deepest heart's desire is?
Definitely.
The people, yeah. So definitely. I teach you how to do that. I teach you how to do that. But are you going to get to the end by the end of a year? Probably not. I hope not. Because, and not to use a cliche, but the more you understand how the desire works, the more you realize it is a spiral journey into your center. It's not a destination.
Mm. Oh, I like that. Mm-mm. Desire. One of my favorite values.
Yes, yes, mine as well.
And here's another one. Question, good one, is if I'm not an entrepreneur, does it still make sense to participate?
Yeah, and that's a good question. And you know what I'd say is sign up for the free session and we'll find out. The honest answer is maybe. For some people who are not entrepreneurs, this is absolutely the perfect thing for them to do in their life, and the dividends are amazing. For other people, it's not quite right, and I'd need to know more about your situation. So sign up for the call, and I'll talk to you for our power session. You'll get a lot out of it, and we'll know by the end of the call. It'll be obvious whether or not this works for your situation or it doesn't, because it's not for everybody.
So those of you listening, if any other questions would like to come in, you're welcome to send them in. One I'll ask myself, Brian, is about reaching a goal and noticing that I don't necessarily feel the exhilaration of a success for very long.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes success or achievement doesn't necessarily give that opening feeling of being free. So
yeah.
What is it all about? What is it to be financially free?
Sure. So what you're talking about is when you have a goal or an idea of success, and then either you struggle to reach it, and as soon as you get close, you kind of get snapped back. And some of you would talk about it like self-sabotage, or you shoot yourself in the foot right in the last minute, or even worse, you actually get the thing that you were looking for. You reach the financial or the other goal that you were going for, and you're just as stressed, and it feels exactly the same as if before you reached that goal. And what's going on there is that there's something about those goals that are being derived from something other than your purpose. So there's some part of you who's not on board. It's like, imagine all the different parts of you are like a team that are all rowing the boat together. And when you don't feel that satisfaction once you reach your goal, it's because you got some people on a team rowing backwards. They don't want to get there. So when you reach the goal, those members of your team are really cranky. And so the way to get fully financially free is to learn to listen to all the parts of yourself, because there is a way, there is a life that you could be leading that makes them all happy. And when you get diligent about discovering what that is and getting, peel that onion, get closer and closer and closer and closer, then more and more of the time you just, many of you have heard about the practice of gratitude and how, if you want to make things happen in your life, you want to be practicing gratitude. But there's no need to practice when you're living a life which is based on, like, who you are. Jennifer and I consistently have the experience of, I can't believe we're so lucky. Like, how did we luck out? And, how is it that I get to do this call with Jenna tonight? She's a wonderful woman. She's awesome. It's a love fest. I get to speak to all of you and talk about things that I care about. And then somehow this is my job. And then it's just anyway. So gratitude comes naturally. What I'm saying is when you get all the rowers rowing in the same direction, and if you're not satisfied by the successes you're having, it's probably because there's a part of you you're ignoring or pretending that isn't there, that isn't on board with what you think you're saying you want.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
So it's coming up on 6:30. You probably have time for one or two more questions if you want to put those in. Or we had some that I think were submitted before, and we can go to those. Jenna, you your choice.
I will get up and go to a submitted question here. So this one's good. It's about working harder. Saying, I can't imagine working harder to be more successful. How can I go to the next level in my business anyway?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So, you know, it's sort of like what I said earlier about entrepreneurs being really busy. You know, often entrepreneurs are really, really working hard. They're hard workers. And if you imagine, you know, the amount of money you're making now and how hard you're working now, and if you had to double how hard you're working in order to double the amount of money you made, that would just wouldn't be possible. It wouldn't exist. There's no way to do it. And then try and double that again, and you would just burn out and die. So what that means is that there's a point in your business. There's a way you're approaching your business. There are things that you think you have to do in order to be successful that you're continuing to do, which are hard, which are, in fact, low leverage. And if you omit those things, if you put them away and start doing some things that are higher leverage, then you can start to work easier and easier and easier as you become more and more successful. Now, financially free people often put in a hard day's work, but their feeling in their body at the end of a day of working hard is exhilaration, not of exhaustion. So if you can't imagine working harder, it's because you definitely need to sit down with someone or you know, get an expert who understands the mechanics of your business, sales, marketing, and leadership, and figure out where are you beating your head against the wall, where are you spending a lot of time, a lot of effort doing things which are doomed to fail, where you could do something else that would take you a lot less time and effort and get you much greater results.
Wow.
I mean, Jenna, in your own business, you had this experience where you were working hard. There's no way you could have been working harder at one point.
Yeah, I would go home from work at 9 o'clock at night and had some big breakthroughs in talks with Brian. And now, well, it's 9:30 at night. I'm not home. But anyway, it's a special night. But usually I'm home earlier. Which is really a goal for me. Like that is definitely what I wanted, and I really looked at my desires.
One of the things I noticed about Jenna, you during the year that you mastered, which I thought was great, was the thing about the exhaustion versus exhilaration, where even on nights like tonight, where you're working till 9 or 10. You don't have that same feeling of being shredded that you had. You know what I mean?
Of being shredded?
Well, like tired, exhausted. I remember talking to you a couple of nights after you had worked, and you felt like you had been dragging yourself over nails for 12 hours. Struggling to try and make the business go. Now, I admire the dedication, and sometimes you have to do that. But not for very long and not for very many days in a row. And then, you know, you've just gotten more and more proficient at doing higher leverage activities and letting go of the things that you can let go of, focusing on the things that really matter, and business is doing a lot better. So, I'm really proud of you and what you've created in the year in the program. It's really neat.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And stay tuned to what's coming next year. Mm-mm. It's getting better.
Yeah, exactly. That's one other teaser. So something you guys might want to know is that we're going to have Jenna in the program again. So if you guys if you guys sign up, that means that you'll have the opportunity of masterminding perhaps with Jenna and with entrepreneurs like Jenna, because you know, we're going to put together you guys in virtual board groups, and all of the people that we've got signing up are these just fantastically vibrant, beautiful people who are doing something great in the world. So we really want you to join us and do that now. So it's 6:29 where I am, 9:29 where you are.
Well, I just want to add on to that I didn't say that. I wasn't being shy. I just had forgotten for the moment. But I am absolutely participating in this for 2011 because I had such success with 2010 and such a positive impact. And it just only made sense to continue on with what's working, which is something I've learned over the years, continue on with what's working, not what's not working.
Right.
And this has so worked for me. And yeah, it'll be really fun to have you as part of it.
It'll be great. You come.
Sorry, I was seeing a question come in, but I can do it by email.
Is there a question, or are we good?
The question was, I just got on. Can I listen to this online? And yes, I'll get it to you tomorrow. And only other question just came in before was, what if you feel scattered? What if you feel distracted? Like, there's a lot of things you want to do. How would you know if this is the one, not just another one that other things that you want to do?
I see. If you're saying you feel scattered and distracted, and there's lots of programs and lots of options to do, how do you know that this is the right for you? Mm-hmm. What I'd say is you definitely want to get your power session with me and just feel what it feels like to be in conversation with me around your business. And if it feels right, if it feels like things are getting more clear instead of less clear, then you're in the right place. And if it feels more cloudy and you have more ideas and you're more confused, then this is probably the wrong place for you.
That's cool. That's a very clear answer.
Yeah.
Brian, thank you so much. Thanks, everyone, for the questions. And this has been fantastic.
Thank you very much. And I love your list. I love how they love you. You know, every time I meet someone who is a follower of yours, Jenna, the way they talk about you, they just glow. And I know it's because of all of the great value you continue to give them, and you just give. So it's a real pleasure to be a part of that giving with you. It's really wonderful. And I'm looking forward to having a great holiday. I know we're going to see each other over the holiday. And until then, love you very much, and be free, everyone. Just make yourself free.
Love you too, Brian. Thank you, everyone. I'll close with that today. Going be free. Bye-bye.
Bye.